Hey everyone, Rory here from This Paranormal Life. Unfortunately, we weren't able to record a new episode of the podcast this week. I don't want to go into too much detail, but apparently it turns out it's illegal to keep alligators as pets in London. Maybe the world. I don't know. So while we dispose of some of these problems, yeah, let's call them that, we thought instead that we'd take this opportunity to publicly release one of our older Patreon bonus episodes. Now, this episode and all bonus episodes wouldn't and couldn't exist without the incredible support from our Patreon subscribers. So we all have them to thank personally for this week's episode. Thank you guys. Thank you. And to our Patreon subscribers, of course, you'll still be getting your fresh bonus episode this month. It's actually one of my favorites that we've done. It's really funny. Anyway, thank you for all of the support. I gotta go find a f***ing sewer or something to dump these assholes. Whoa! We'll be back with a new episode next week. Until then, I hope you enjoy. Let's get stuck into this month's bonus episode. This one is a little different. I felt like because it's Halloween, we would look into a case that maybe typically we wouldn't look into. Partially because it is in fact fictional.
Oh, right off the bat.
Usually, the point of the podcast is to come to a conclusion as to whether or not something is true or false, whether it did or did not happen. Going into this case, we know pretty confidently that it did not happen. But I thought this is the perfect opportunity to do it because we've also been suggested this case a number of times by Duke, by David Chadwick, by Rojo, by Daniel, by a lot of D's, and David as well, all emailed in asking if we could investigate a case known as the Russian Sleep Experiment.
Okay, I'm in.
Now, the Russian Sleep Experiment might sound familiar to some of you guys. It's a very popular story that was circulated around the internet in the, you know, when would that have been? Early 2000s?
Probably, yeah.
Somewhere around
Message
there.
Message board era.
It is, in fact, a creepypasta. Now, a lot of people might not know what a creepypasta is, but for those of you who don't,
it's a dish made out of a specific type of wheat from southern Italy
that you have to only find in a graveyard
on Halloween.
Creepypastas are described as being horror-related legends that have been copied and pasted around the internet. These internet entries are often brief, user-generated, paranormal stories intended to scare readers.
It is kind of incredible that we've ignored creepypastas for as long as this, given that creepypastas are arguably the modern equivalent of paranormal folklore. Think of thousands of years of paranormal information getting passed on through generations. It was through folklore. And yeah, creepypastas are absolutely the modern equivalent.
Very true. We did investigate Slenderman.
True, which, who started off as creepypasta, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much the closest we've ever got to investigating full-on creepypasta. I think we looked into him because he kind of bled into reality a little bit with people doing some weird stuff to, you know, honor Slender Man and things like that. That
yeah.
becomes a little bit more... That's the creepy risotto, folks. That's a little too real. We don't like to investigate that stuff.
It's a spicy meal.
Without further ado, let's dive right in and talk about the Russian Sleep Experiment. The year 1940s. The specific year, classified. We're in a top secret Soviet test facility. Not where you want to be if you're a prisoner of war. Not where you want to be at all, actually, in any capacity.
I like that it's a classified year, even though you just said it was during the war, so it's probably years 41 through 44.
But the specific year, sir, is classified, okay. And if you ask again, you're going to feel the butt of my rifle up your ass.
My KGB Russian rifle.
The Soviet Union was notorious for conducting some of the most grisly and brutal human experiments in history. They were often conducted on political prisoners or traitors. Some of their most infamous experiments was... This is in real life, by the way.
We're not into the creepy pasta yet.
No, this is just real life.
This is just creepy.
One of their most famous experiments was the Poison Laboratory, which does sound like a laboratory made
of poison.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think, in fact, it's more a top secret lab where they try and make the ultimate poison.
Hell.
Like an odorless, colorless,
instant death liquid.
Wow.
Lombardy, essentially.
We've never talked about where Lombardy came from.
But Lombardy is a colorful, odorful liquid that makes you wish it was poison.
You kind of wish you were dead.
Poison is the Lombardy chaser. You have a shot of Lombardy and you chase it with bleach.
The only thing that tastes worse than bleach is Lombardy. Whilst a poison laboratory is terrifying, it is maybe slightly less terrifying than the laboratory made of poison. Can you imagine being a scientist? You train your whole life just to be, of all ironies, a guinea pig in someone else's f***ed up experiment?
Yeah. What does that even, like, everything you touch would kill you?
You start your first day in this secret Soviet laboratory. You're like, so Vladimir, thank you for onboarding me today. I'm glad to be here in the laboratory. So what are we going to be experimenting? Oh, don't worry, Peter. Just basically chill. Just hang out, you know, touch things, sit down, lick things.
There's like a row of 20 men with notepads just watching you. This feels wrong. Any country that has a poison lab, you don't want to be in one of their test facilities. Well, as I said, it's the late 1940s. And five political prisoners are being marched down a dark hallway in shackles. At the end of the hall, the prisoners are stuffed into a small, sealed chamber. The door shuts behind them. Then, a voice on the intercom.
Welcome, test subjects, to our little experiment. For years, mankind has struggled...
Sorry, did you say he was Russian?
Sorry, I think I'm going a little German here. Hold on. Let me reject this. It's hard to do high pitch Russian accent.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like, you want to go like a...
Yeah, Rush. I can't even think. I just did one. Russian.
But it was good. It was low. I just got a...
Vladimir and his Russian accent.
Vladimir and his Russian accent. You're a vampire.
I'm a vampire. That's the only difference.
All right, we're going to go full on vampire for this one then, guys.
Welcome, test subject.
It's still German.
I feel like I'm at a circus.
All right, I'm going to have to go.
Boys and girls.
come all to the magical chamber. All right, we're just going to... I don't know what we're going to do for this. Maybe f*** it, Australian.
All right, test subjects. Get in the chamber.
All right, you sick motherfuckers. You thought you could kill us?
Thought you could talk shit about Russia? Mother Russia?
Yeah, I'm Russian. Yeah, I did a few years of school in Sydney. But I'm Russian through and through, mate.
All right, I'm have to do a low Russian accent. It's the only one I can think of.
Welcome, test subjects, to our little experiment. For years, mankind has struggled. For years, we have struggled with the balance of being awake and being asleep. But no more.
Have we? I feel like he struggles.
No questions, please!
Huge bags under his eyes.
You will be kept awake for 30 consecutive days. Those who complete the experiment will be granted their freedom.
30 days of no sleep, and the men would be set free. That was the promise. It seemed like an achievable task, but what the men didn't know was that the way they would be kept awake would be with an experimental airborne stimulant that would stop them from sleeping even if they wanted to.
Wow.
We've heard of knockout gas. This is wake-up gas. It is the opposite, being pumped into the chambers, making it so that these test subjects can't fall asleep even if they're tired.
This is like some kind of up wartime era pre-YouTube Mr. Beast challenge.
It is, yeah.
Where instead of winning, you know, a Lamborghini by holding on to it for the longest,
yeah,
you win your freedom from this POW camp by staying awake for 30 days.
This is, if Mr. Beast was a Russian military commander, this is the sort of content he would come out with.
Commander/content creator.
The ultimate job title.
If you survive, then you will get your freedom. Also, always remember to like, subscribe, and share with your comrades.
Today's experiment brought to you by G Fuel.
All right. The first few days passed with zero complications. The men were tired, but continued behaving like normal, talking to each other.
How would you have got... I mean, I'm just have to butt in because I would not make it. You've known me for long enough. You would probably know that I would not make it one day. Like, I mean, I'm barely making it through this podcast because I got like 7 hours sleep last night.
You're nodding off while the intercom is going. Hey, wake up!
Can I have a quick cat nap before we start the experiment?
I did not, I have known you for a long time. I did not know that you required sleep that much to function.
Well, to be fair, we did do a kind of like, I don't remember how long we did it for, but we did a live stream on YouTube not that long ago. What was that? 12 hours? That's the limit on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah, about 12 hours.
I was hurting. I was hurting bad and hard.
That wasn't even that late.
Whereas you've done, what's your longest live stream?
I think it was 43 hours. That wasn't the length of the live stream. That was the amount of time you I didn't sleep.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah.
I have actually talked about it on this podcast before. By the end, I was, seeing things in the corners of my eyes. The people around me sounded like their voice was being auto-tuned. It was a very strange experience.
Should we look up what the record is for? Because this creepypasta is allegedly fiction.
Yes.
We don't know whether there are going to be real results here. For reference, should we find out what the world record is?
We should do it. I think I Googled it. And at one point, the world record was held by a woman who was competing in a rocking chair competition.
Oh.
Where she stayed up rocking in a chair for an absurd amount of time.
Wow.
But fun fact, the Guinness Book of World Records actually took this record out of the book because it was incentivizing people to try and break the record themselves. And obviously staying up for days and days on end is so detrimental to your health that they didn't want to encourage anyone to try and beat that record.
Wow.
So it was removed from the book.
Which is crazy because the Guinness Book of World Records will encourage you to eat as many live scorpions
as you can. There's a lot of worse shit in there.
There's base jumping out of a f-ing hot air balloon at 25,000 feet.
I think someone ate a plane.
So that's pretty detrimental to your health.
You can try it. We don't think you'll get very far.
I think the biggest risk of trying to stay up is falling asleep. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Apparently, according to Google, the current record is set by a man called Randy Gardner, who in December 1963, he stayed awake for 11 days.
Wow.
That's intense.
I like when it's an old school record because that means it's hard as f-ing nails. No one's beaten it in over 50 years.
Well, he beat the original record held by Honolulu DJ.
What?
Tom Rounds.
If a DJ beat that record, I want to see his piss test. I want to know what he was on.
A Honolulu DJ as well, who was so chill, he just forgot to sleep. 30 days. Gas or no gas, it's going to be a difficult to pull off. As I said, the first few days passed totally fine. The men were tired, but continued behaving like normal, talking to each other, reading books, and communicating to the scientists from a large one-way mirror. But it wasn't long before their conversations got dark. And we're not talking like, stop talking about Marvel movies, started talking about DC movies.
Okay.
We're talking about real weird stuff. 9 days into the experiment, out of nowhere, one of the test subjects began screaming. Yes, this was strange, but what was even stranger was that the other men had zero reaction.
Wow, it's like they couldn't even hear it.
He screamed so loud for so long that he tore his vocal cords until his cries were just a breathy whisper. Which is terrifying. That's genuinely really scary. There's a reason this story got passed around so much.
Wow. Because
it's very creepy.
That's horrible.
The next morning, when the scientists got to the facility and turned on the lights to look through the one-way mirror, the room stayed dark. When they walked up to the glass, they realized that the prisoners had covered the entire one-way glass by pasting pages torn from a book.
Whoa.
Without wanting to interrupt the experiment, the scientists... I keep calling them scientists. They're monsters.
War criminals.
This isn't science. This is just weird.
This is like the people trying to cure cancer are not the same as these men.
Yeah. This is like punching a cat and calling it an experiment. This is just evil in a lab. It's not the same thing.
You see a guy in a lab coat twisting pigeons' necks, just killing them. It's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, this is a new experiment. And he's like, okay, what are you measuring? You taking measurements? Huh? You're not writing anything down? Nah. I just keep it all up here.
They didn't want to interrupt the experiment, so they left the prisoners alone in the chamber. After days of complete silence, the researchers finally decided they had to go into the chamber and see what was going on. So they turned on the intercom and said,
"We're coming into the chamber, which means we have to turn off the gas. Don't fall asleep, okay?"
There was no response.
"Can you hear me in the chamber?"
A frail voice replied.
"Don't turn off the gas."
The researchers had no choice. They opened the chamber doors and were horrified. The test subjects were all f***ed up, mutilated, bitten, organs on the floor, but they were somehow still alive. Except for one of them, who looks like the others had basically ripped him apart.
Jesus.
They had even clogged the drain to the chamber so that the floor had pooled with blood. If you're one of those scientists, when you're like, all right, let's time to check up on the old experiments, swing that door open and you see four little men haunched over a lifeless body, close the door. Close the door and say, I'm calling it. We didn't learn anything from this.
I was never here. I'm gonna not put this job on my resume.
A guy from like two labs down is just swinging by with a coffee, being like, hey, how's that sleep Oh, no. He's like at the lab that's trying to make the most delicious pizza slice. And these guys got stuck with the sleep experiment. The scientists knew if they wanted to continue the experiment, they'd have to at least clean the chamber. So they tried to remove the test subjects.
Okay, I mean, you gotta do more than clean the chamber. Maybe put their innards back inside their bodies. Maybe
one step at a time.
The guy who died a burial and last rites.
He's in his resting place. He's having a nice little nap. Really, the chamber is a top priority because you're gonna use that thing for a lot of extra experiments. So you gotta make sure it's in tip-top shape. I think they sealed the pages to the one-way mirror with their own shit. So it's definitely worth maybe giving it a little scrub down.
I like that the scientists called it like a stay awake gas, but the fact that they had to turn off the gas instead of just exposing themselves for 2 seconds to the gas makes me think it does more than make you stay awake.
Yeah, I think that is one of the most minute side effects of the gas is the inability to sleep.
I think the major effect is it seems to make you lose your mind
and become a semi-immortal demon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really...
Not to mention screaming until your vocal cords snap.
They tried to remove the test subjects from the chamber, but they said they didn't want to go, and they begged for the gas to be put back on.
Whoa.
The subjects were eventually forcibly dragged from the chamber, severely injuring a guard in the process. When the subjects were finally settled, the researchers took the opportunity to conduct some tests, and what they discovered was mind-blowing. All the subjects appeared to possess extreme strength, unprecedented resistance to drugs and sedatives, and the ability to remain alive despite lethal injuries.
What does that even mean? This is the opposite, of course, of what we would expect. Normally, if you don't get enough sleep, your immune system is drastically compromised.
Yeah.
So very good way of like getting a nasty cold or flus by not sleeping. So we would not expect them to have gained muscle mass and be able to survive the unsurvivable.
Yeah, I think maybe gained muscle mass is not a good way to word it. Because even though they have possessed extreme strength, in my mind, that is definitely in no way visually represented.
Okay.
They're not coming out of there looking like Chris Evans.
Okay, this is some...
Post-Super Soldier
this
Serum.
This is some PCP strength.
Yeah.
This is some angel dust strength where You're strong because your body doesn't know where its breaking point is anymore.
Right, yeah. This is Gollum on cocaine.
You don't feel pain. You will lift a car until your arms snap off.
Because your brain is mashed potatoes. Basically, yeah. And, like, it's a cool idea that, you know, you're always told that you need to get sleep at night so your body can rest. And I guess part of the idea of this story is that if you don't sleep, maybe you can gain some sort of superhuman abilities.
Wow.
Again, this is not true. I want to make that very clear for anyone listening to the podcast who was just about to close their eyes and go to bed, but now wants to deadlift 200 kg. Now, as we said, while extreme strength and borderline invincibility does sound great, there was a lethal side effect of the gas. The researchers discovered that if any of the men fell asleep, they would die.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They've gone too far now. If they sleep, they pass away. They've pushed their bodies to the extremes.
Interesting. This is a kind of Mr. Burns, Three Stooges syndrome.
Yeah. Where
they're currently impervious to everything, invincible, super strong, because they haven't slept. But if they get a single second of shut eye, it all falls apart.
You're gone. This is like, you know, when you're at university, where you're like, you know, drinking till like 4 a.m. and then you wake up at 10, you're still a little buzzed.
Sure.
And you're like, if I can just keep this party going, I never have to suffer the consequences of the inevitable hangovers. You have a couple beers. Next thing you know, you're 11 days.
You're 35 years old in an AA meeting. You live with your parents. It all went to shit.
You have to keep pausing the podcast so you can do a shot of whiskey to keep the buzz alive. Only problem is, I didn't get any of the bonuses. Zero strength. I feel like shit.
I am a crisp man. I'm basically made of ready salted. I'm so thin and weak.
I actually ironically sleep a lot. 11 hours a day. After the experiments, the three surviving subjects were begging to be put back in the chamber with the gas. So by orders of the military officials, against the will of the scientists, they were placed back in the chamber. However, before the gas could be switched back on, one of the men fell asleep and died. In a panic to shut the doors and start the gas immediately, a military officer ordered the doors to be closed with three researchers still inside the chamber.
What?
That's a real, like, our kind of cliche, turn on the gas! It's like, yeah. But sir, please, they're not, turn on the gas! Just trying to keep these guys alive.
I mean, I'm not saying the scientists don't deserve it.
Yeah, actually, that's a pretty good point.
No. I can't even get a little bit of this. Are you crazy? This stuff is dangerous.
Before one of the officers could seal the door, one of the researchers drew a handgun and fired, killing him in the doorway.
Whoa.
He then turned and fired his gun at one of the test subjects, who fell to the floor motionless.
You gotta aim for the head, because I don't know that they're not zombies now.
Yeah, there's a high chance they could also just, like, Superman-style catch the bullet in midair.
Stop it with their mind, and then, like, Mewtwo, they kind of, like, telepathically say,
"Yeah,
don't do it, Vladimir."
With this test subject dead, only one remained in the chamber. The scientist pointed his gun at the prisoner and screamed, "I won't be locked in here with these things! Not with you! What are you?" he demanded. "I must know!" The subject smiled. I gotta get a really good voice for this.
"Have you forgotten so easily? We are you. We are the madness that lurks within all of you, begging to be set free at every moment in your deepest animal mind. We are what you hide from in your beds every night. We are what you sedate into silence and paralysis when you go to the nocturnal heaven where we cannot tread."
The researcher shot him between the eyes.
Oh!
What? Hold on!
This guy stayed awake for so long, he turned into a British professor. He turned into Professor Xavier.
And now you have freed the beast, and I am here to bring in the...
And the guy just pulls out a gun.
Whoa, take it easy now. Chill out, don't do anything you're gonna regret.
He's still, it's just all talking with his brain.
We're alike, you and I. You don't want to pull the trigger.
Roughly pretty similar. The Nocturnal Haven, where you guys go, that sounds pretty cool. I might actually go there myself one day.
I know I look and behave weird, but I like some of the same things you do. Movies, long walks.
Sleeping? Look, I'm gonna sleep.
Your eyes are open!
You're still standing. You're still awake. Your eyes are open. He did.
He has huge blood red.
Massive. Bro, it doesn't even have eyelids anymore.
He's just standing there. He's somehow 12 feet tall.
Hog Snoo!
Hog Snoo!
I'm dreaming of butterflies!
The researcher shot him right between the eyes.
Great.
Boom!
Good.
Blood all over the walls. The last test subject was dead. He hit the floor, only managing to whisper the words,
"So nearly free."
Wow.
Yeah.
What does it mean? It's like Rosebud at the end of Citizen Kane.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was kind of cool because when I first read this story, I was like, oh, so nearly free as in the monster side of him almost completely took over the human side of him.
Mm.
But actually, when I looked into the story a little more, some people thought that line, so nearly free, was more referring to the fact that he had nearly been awake for the 30 days.
Oh, that makes way more sense.
So when he was shot, it was like the human part of his brain still thinking that he
can get out of it.
Can get out of it in some form, that he had almost made it 30 days without sleeping, which I thought was really weird and cool.
I guess there's multiple meanings, yeah.
Yeah, it's like there's like two brains inside of his head working simultaneously.
I mean, it's like the zombie movie where like the wife is a zombie and the husband is still human and he's pointing the gun at her and he's like, tears in his eyes, he's like, remember me, surely you remember your husband. And the zombie like twitches for a second and is like,
Richard! Richard!
Doing a weird side, Mary! Mary! And then obviously Mary bites him.
Bites his face.
Of course, it happens every time.
Because that's a good trick, to trick Richard.
It's actually pretty good. I love you, baby, come on in!
Come on for a big smooch, I mean.
I haven't aged a day. If I ever get bitten by a zombie and I have like a moment of clarity, like right before I pass, like you've blown half of my face off with like a shotgun and I'm like thrashing about on the floor. If I can kind of come back to myself right before the end, I'd be like, wipe my browser history. And then I pass away. That's my last message.
Yeah. And your family were waiting to hear that you love them.
Yeah. Delete the hard drives. Guys, that's it. That's the story of the Russian sleep experiment. As I said, not something we would usually cover because, of course, if you Google it, you'll find out that it is, 100% confirmed to be fictional. It's a creepypasta. It's a fictional, spooky story.
Really, ironically, actually written by that person in 1963 who stayed up for 11 days straight.
This is the only thing he could think of. But I thought it was worth covering because one, we like to cover current online modern day paranormal hauntings.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more modern day than creepypastas. As you said, that is the folklore of the 21st century.
I love it because we love to cover all things paranormal and spooky, especially not least on Halloween. We want to cover something truly terrifying, but that's the reality. Some of humanity's most terrifying stories, many of which are fiction.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of cool to think that the same people as me and you, the same human brain, can come up with the most demonic, terrifying stories that scratch the itch of the human psyche. There's something in us that loves to hear something so terrifying.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This is just one of those stories that just ticks a lot of really cool, creepy boxes.
Yeah.
I think it's so close to being something that people could genuinely believe had happened. You know, that cliche setting of like a World War II experimental lab in a foreign country, you know.
But, I mean, they did things much worse than this in those labs.
The poison lab is real, by the way.
It's believable.
Yeah. I mean, if you do research any experimental Soviet Union laboratories, you're going to find a lot of stuff grislier than this, for sure, that did actually happen. Not paranormal, just straight up evil.
Just bad.
And I don't want to do a podcast called This Evil Life.
No.
But yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone for sending in those suggestions. I'd like to do some more creepypastas, so if you do know of any you think we would enjoy, send them in. I think the bonus episodes are actually a pretty good place to do them.
Yeah, so let us know if you enjoyed this kind of format. For sure,
hopefully it's not an inbox full of get back to real cases. All right, put down the pitchforks, guys. Jeez.
That's not why we're mad. We're mad for other real reasons. There's got to be a bunch of you out there who have been with us since the very beginning of the Patreon. So, Jesus Christ, what a ride it's been.
Yeah, thank you so much for sticking it out through all these years. I like to think we've only gotten better, personally.
Actually, we do actually surveys on Patreon, and actually they seem to say the opposite. People think it's tanking.
Gotten worse.
Over 3 years. Wow. I said year two was the golden era.
The British Podcast Award victory.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it really picked up. We got like a lot of press and stuff for that. That was pretty cool.
And they said, you know, they said in year three, you can just see just the love for it just diminishing in in our jokes and our stories and our anecdotes. And just actually,
pretty rude.
Actually, this comment says, yeah, around episode 150, you can really see Rory and Kit's relationship deteriorate.
Oh, all right, that's enough. That's enough, all right? Suggestion box closed. I'm going to put a new box down, all right? And it's got it's just a hole with a snake in it. How about that? Put your feedback in that box, you little bastards.
You know what? We're not thankful for 3 years of patronage.
No, thank you. Honestly, thank you so much. You guys are literally the reason we've been able to keep doing this show. I don't even know, for those of you who have been around since the very beginning of the podcast, that's when it was insane. I think for the first couple weeks or months, we were doing 2 episodes a week. We were
the sleep experiment of our lives.
It was the London sleep experiment. And the gas was a very unsuccessful podcast recorded in a bedroom. But over the years, it's blossomed into this big, beautiful thing that we're so proud of. And yeah, we're so so grateful for you guys for sticking around and being with us on this awesome paranormal journey. So thank you so much. I hope you have a fantastic Halloween.
Hell yeah.
Getting spooky, eating candy, watching horror movies. And as always, we will be back next Tuesday with a brand new
paranormal tale.